No, we're just testing and make sure that it's on. Can you hear it? Okay. All right. Not on? Okay. All right. Well, we continue to plow through Ephesians. I don't know how that's right. I did count up how many verses and how many chapters, and we'd be here till 2014 or something like that, I think it is. So we'll make sure we move along. Yeah, one word each week, right? But anyway, I don't know about you, but every time, I mean, just taking one verse, it's like, gosh, there's so much stuff. How could you go through the book of Ephesians in 6 weeks? I don't know how anybody would do that. Anyway, we're in Ephesians 1:7, and this is, we already did the first six. Yeah, Ephesians 1:7, this week. Last week we did, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he is accepted in the beloved, and this week is, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What? Yes, I know. I did 5 and 6, yeah. Yeah, 5 and 6 we did. I did actually 2, yeah. So this week is Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. A lot of stuff in there. So, first of all, this one little phrase here, we have, is a very short, to the point, and a fact that it has, there's three parts to this. It has been from the past, through the present, and abides in the future. So, that little phrase right there means you already have in the past, it's through this present time, and abides in the future. That's what that word we have. We have redemption through his blood. So it's past, present, and future. Let's see. Does anybody remember a scripture verse that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Remember that? That's all on all the Foursquare Church buildings. That's what that means. We have. We have it back then, we have it now, and we have it in the future. Now, everybody probably knows what redemption is, right? Redemption means to redeem one by paying a price. So upon receiving a price for something, one is left to go free. So it's like when they purchased a slave at the slave market. Okay, does anybody remember Roots? Us that are old enough to remember Roots back in the 70s. When they brought the slaves to the slave market, and you would pay a price after you checked their teeth out, right? Then you would pay the price and buy the slave. So, we have been purchased. We are slaves to sin, it says in Romans 6:6. And Jesus, in the open marketplace of humanity, purchased us. Now, I have $1 million bill here. See? It says $1 million bill. You know, so if I bought Trent for $1 million, okay, I'd redeem him. I paid a price worth $1 million. There you go. See that? you probably should put that at your firm there. See, $1 million. See, I got purchased this weekend for $1 million. And it's a good bargain because you know what? And when you boil us down take the water out of us, we're about $1.83 in minerals and stuff. So that's a good bargain. So Jesus purchased us on the open market with his blood. Okay? With his blood. It says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. That's Hebrews 9:22. And we're going to look at why blood. Blood makes atonement, Leviticus 17:7. So why is blood important? Other than God set it up as an atonement for sins and sacrifice. Life is in the blood. That's right. Life is in the blood. What life? Yeah, like kind of like the oil in a car, right? You ever try to drive a car without any oil in it? Won't get very far. It'll all seize up. Why blood? Because the red blood cells carry oxygen to the body, and the white blood cells are what? The immune system, right? So if your immune system's busted, you're susceptible to diseases. So both, you've got one side of bringing life to the body and the other one of making sure that there's an immune system to keep any diseases away. So we're going to look at, if you want to do a little outline, these are the tenets of redemption. Okay. First of all, the object of redemption is humankind. We're the object. We're the reason that Jesus gave his blood. And the purpose was to set us free from two things, okay? The guilt and power of sin is one, and the presence of sin. So the guilt and power is now and ongoing. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That word means cleanses us from the guilt and the power. Let's make sure we get the guilt. We understand, I think, up here the power, but I don't know that we understand the guilt. And the presence of sin at his return. You would be delivered from the presence of sin. We live in a sinful world, and you're going to be delivered at his return from the presence of sin. So that's the two things. There's the power of sin, that includes the guilt, and the presence of sin, because we live in a sinful world. So that's the object as humankind, and the purpose was to set us free from the power and the presence, both. The payment, next thing, the payment is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is like the coin of the realm. You know what the coin of the realm is? Like in Britain, when you had a coin, right? And it had the crown stamped on it, and they called it the coin of the realm. Well, Jesus' blood is like blood money. Blood money, because life is in the blood. And there's two uses for blood in the Old Testament. It was for a sacrificial atonement, okay? It was right off the bat with Adam and Eve, even though it was not necessarily stated, but when God clothed them with animal skins, he had to shed blood in order to clothe them and cover them. Remember that what did they try to clothe themselves with? Fig leaves. Anybody ever put a fig leaf up next to them? It's like the back of a cat's tongue. It's got prickly. I mean, you know, how stupid can you be, right? To try to clothe yourself with it, right? Cover yourself up. And that's what we do. We try to cover ourselves with something that's itchy, and versus the Lord killed animals to clothe them with the skin of animals. So it's for a sacrificial atonement. That's one use for blood. And also it becomes a curse when it's wrongfully shed. That's the other thing that's mentioned in Scripture. So, we will read Numbers 35:33. Maybe somebody can turn to it and we'll read it. But I want to tell you a little story. Louis Pasteur, you know who Louis Pasteur is? Pasteurization of milk, right? Well, he was a chemist, and he was really kind of an inventor of lots of different things. And what he was doing one time is that there was a plague in France. And he was out on the countryside. And they were trying to get this virus situated in a petri dish so that they could tell what they were fighting, because it was killing the kids, most of them, because the kids don't have as big of immune system as adults do. So Louis Pasteur is out in the countryside in France. And so they got the virus in the dish. And what he did is he took the virus and he shot and put shots in each of the horses that were in the stall out on the farm. Every one of those horses died. It was so powerful, the virus was, except for this one horse. The one horse, you know, sweat, got shaky, but stood on his feet. He took the blood out of the horse and injected it in the kids. And every one of them lived. Why? Because there was something in that horse, his blood, that was an immune to that virus. Every one of those kids lived. So the blood of the overcoming horse saved those kids. And that's what Jesus is. He's the blood of the overcomer. There is no blood that is sinless except for his. And so if you're going to save a sinful creation, you have to have a sinless creator do it. And that's why his blood is for the atonement. So, two uses, sacrificial atonement, and also it's a curse when wrongfully shed. Now, does anybody have Numbers 35, 33? Okay, why don't you come up here, because I want this to be on here, and just read that. Paul's going to read Numbers 35, 33.
So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it.
That's heavy. Because you know what? There's 50 million abortions since 1973 in this country. And everybody's screaming because there's not the undergirding of Social Security to support the older people getting, because we got rid of a whole generation. And what that says is that the blood that's shed is not going to be atoned except for the ones that shed it. That's scary. That's God's word, and it doesn't change. So, we have the sacrificial atonement of Jesus' blood, but also blood becomes a curse when it's wrongfully shed, just like it says there. So, we've got the object is humankind, okay? The purpose was what? To set us free from the power and presence of sin. The payment is the blood of Jesus. Now, the next thing is the settlement. What's the settlement for the tenets of redemption? The settlement was that it satisfied a just demand of a holy God. Okay? The blood of Jesus settled that demand of a holy God. Because God doesn't change. Everybody thinks that God is like Burl Ives sitting up in heaven, you know, flipping his whiskers or something like that and singing, you know, Kumbaya or something. He's not. He is love, but he also has justice. You have to have both. So his sentence was the wages of sin is death. And when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, it meant it's paid in full. When you see a stamp on something that says paid, paid in full. And it's usually in red. Isn't that interesting? The wages of sin is death. This is what we do. We put our wages in. Click, clock. Anybody work in a place that, you know, you have to clock in and clock out? That's the wages of sin. The wages of sin. Click, 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 click. That's all we get. That's the wages of what we get. So the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So that's the settlement. The settlement was it satisfied the just demands of a holy God. And he said, it is finished. It is paid in full. What's the effect? What's the effect of this? The effect is the forgiveness of sins, the remission of the penalty. Okay? The remission of the penalty. So, remember we just gave Trent that $1 million, okay? There was a settlement there. Two things when you purchase somebody was, the two aspects were the release of the prisoner, okay? And letting go of the debt. That's the two things. When you have a settlement, okay, and the effect of the settlement is you got forgiveness of sins, the remission of the penalty. It means you release the prisoner and you let go of the debt. So they couldn't come after you for the debt and you're set free from the prison. Now, my question is, do we hold on to either one of those? Do we still feel like we're in prison? Do we act like we're in prison? Do we still feel like we have a debt to pay? Oh, yeah. How could God do that? Remember we read last week about the backslider and how can I come back to God because, you know, there's no way to make this up. I once tasted the fruits of things and you got to turn around and come back. That's what repentance is. Repentance is not some bony-fingered black Bible guy dressed in black pointing his finger at you. Repentance is coming to your senses and going like the prodigal, I have sinned against God and against you. That's why the cross is this way and this way. First you go, I sinned against God, and I've sinned against my Father, and he went back to the Father. And that's what it's about. So the release of the prisoner and the letting go of the debt, both aspects. What is the Day of Atonement? Does anybody know about the Day of Atonement in the Bible, in the Old Testament? Right. Right. Yom Kippur is the what? Is the Day of Atonement, right? And so they would have the high priest go into the holiest of holies. They'd also put a rope on his leg because if he did something wrong and it was cast down, nobody could go into the inner sanctum, and they would pull him out with a rope attached to his leg. But there was also another ceremony, and it was two goats. Okay? The one was sacrificed. So they sacrificed one goat, and the other, they laid hands on it, symbolic of the sins of Israel, and they released it into the wilderness for the remitting of the guilt and the penalty. Scapegoat. That's where we get the scapegoat from. Okay? So laying hands on the goat, sending it into the wilderness to take the sins of Israel away. All right. So after we're done with the effect of redemption. So far, I'll go over the outline again. The object of redemption is humankind. The purpose was to set us free from the power and the presence of sin. Then the payment was the blood of Jesus. And the settlement was that he paid in full the demands of a holy God. The effects was that we had the remission of the penalty, releasing of the prisoner, and letting the debt go. Now we have the degree by which it is accomplished. What is the degree? Is it a little bit? Is it a lot? You know what? People have said, you can't be forgiven until you know you've been forgiven. I mean, you can't forgive until you know you've been forgiven. And how much do you know that you're forgiven? Is it as high as the mountains? Or do you know that you're forgiven this much and therefore you can turn it and only offer this much forgiveness? The degree by which it's accomplished. This is dominated by the riches of his grace. That's what it says in here. Okay? Remember this one verse? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What is it according to? Dominated by the riches of his grace, infinite wealth and infinite in its proportions. Infinite. Now, I had Tony, we looked up last night about infinity. You remember infinity? It's the script 8 and it's turned on its side, infinity. Well, Wikipedia had so much stuff on it, I'd be sitting here all day describing it to you. But this is what infinite means. Immeasurably great. Indefinitely or exceedingly great. So immeasurably great and indefinitely or exceedingly great. Boundless, unlimited in space, time, and quantity. So you look, you took the space continuum, the time continuum, and the quantity continuum, and it's boundless and unlimited. Boundless and unlimited. It's also, and I remember when I used to take pictures with my 35mm camera, it's the distance setting on a camera lens that's beyond which everything is in focus. You remember that? You that had the 35mm had that infinity thing and just focused it in, and it says the distance on a camera lens beyond which everything is in focus. God makes everything in focus. Infinitely. Infinitely. And it says infinite in wealth and abundance of his grace. So that's the degree to which it's accomplished. It's infinite. And what is infinite? What's the commodity that's infinite? Go back to the verse. The riches of his grace. His grace is infinite. I have to remember that when I'm driving. His grace is infinite. How much grace do we have towards people? I mean, really. There's a song that says, Lord, if you wanted me to be like you, why'd you make me like me? That's why it says we're supposed to be conformed to the image of. He makes each of us individually, knows exactly how he made us, but we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Jesus. How long is eternity? I don't know if you're a kid, but I remember in 1968, I was looking out the window and I thought, gosh, what's it going to be like in the year 2000? That's so far. What's it going to be like infinite and like eternity? Eternity just keeps going and going and going and going. And the hymn that says, when we've been there 10,000 years. I mean, it's just infinite, infinite, infinite. There's no end to it. So 70 that we get here, right, is like a grain of sand in eternity. Our life is just like a grain of sand. And yet it's so important that we get to either, you know, saints or ain'ts. That's it. The forgiveness is complete and unchangeable. Your choice to enter into it or not. Okay? The choice is to enter in or not. But that doesn't make it any different or change it in any way. It's complete and unchangeable. So God's already said, it's done. It's taken care of. My son's given his life. It's your choice to enter in or not. It doesn't change the nature of the result, whether we choose to take it or not. It doesn't. And what he wants is unconditional surrender. Now, during World War I, they did not do unconditional surrender. They came to terms with one another at Versailles. That's why we will celebrate that on November 11th, Armistice Day. Armistice meant they came to terms. How'd that work for us? Gee, within what, 15 years, we had another war, worse than the first one? Okay. When we were dealing with the Japanese and the Germans, it was unconditional surrender. They wanted to do the same thing with the terms. We said, absolutely not. We dropped two atomic bombs. They did unconditional surrender. That means I give up, uncle. And yet, years later, they found Japanese that were hiding in caves on Okinawa and some of the islands out by Japan who had not heard that the war was over. I mean, we're talking into the 60s. But they were living in those caves for like 20 years because they had so much stuff stuck in those caves. And they never heard that the war was over. They never entered into the reality that it was over. So you know what? The war is over. Stop wrestling. Stop contending. The war is over. You just have to unconditionally surrender. So, what ancient wars are you still fighting? What are you still wrestling with God over? He's stronger than you. You might as well yell uncle. He wants you to know that the forgiveness is complete and unchangeable. The nature of the result does not change based on your acceptance of the fact or not. Doesn't change it. It's done. You just have to say yes or no. So, think about those. What ancient wars are you still fighting over? And what are you still wrestling with God over? And it's time to say uncle. Remember uncle? You know, you used to wrestle with your friends and they'd have your arm behind your back and you get say uncle, uncle. And then they'd let you up. Okay? So, I utilized our board here today. And I wrote down two little sayings on here that you can remember about redemption. And I'll read them to you, but I wrote them down so that you don't have to quickly write them down. So here's the two, okay? Redemption is the world's greatest blessing, okay? The world's greatest blessing is the fruit of the world's greatest sorrow. That's what redemption is, if you just want to put it in a little nutshell. The world's greatest blessing is the fruit of the world's greatest sorrow. And lastly, any religion that is not saving you from the power of sin today will not save you from the consequences of sin in eternity. That's what Christianity is so different. Because it sets you free now and it keeps you free in eternity. Buddha doesn't do that. Muhammad doesn't do that. Joseph Smith doesn't do that. Only Jesus does that. Wish I came up with that one. That was a good one. That's R.A. Torrey said that one. Any religion that is not saving you from the power of sin today will not save you from the consequences of sin in eternity. If it ain't doing it now, it's not going to do it later. You can, how many times you want to bathe in the Ganges River to wash away your sins? I think you get more stuff when you bathe in that thing. Ugh. And yet all these people go to that river to go get cleansed of their sins, and they never do. They never do. So that's why we have good news, you know? The only time that good news turns to bad news is when you don't accept it. Or you walk around with a long face, or you walk around with, gee, you know, when they passed out brains, I thought they said trains, and I said, I'll wait till the next one or something. You know? That's not good news. So, the world's greatest blessing is the fruit of the world's greatest sorrow. God the Father gave up everything to redeem us. And that should be good news. And that should be something that you tell everybody else about, too. Because you got the remedy. Remember? The blood of the overcomer. Here's Louis Pasteur sticking, needles in these horses, taking the blood out of the one that lived. There's a remedy, and we have the remedy. So think about that this week. You know, what ancient wars are we still fighting, and what are you still wrestling with God over? And don't forget, it's complete and unchangeable. It's already been done. It is finished. And it lasts for as long as eternity.